I don't know what this, this podcast is going all kinds of places.
We're free flowing. Welcome to Free Flow, a podcast by She Period, where we freely discuss topics about and around menstruation. Everyone is welcome to listen and join our conversation. I'm Livia, your host, and today we have a special episode with Meija One, where we talk about her new song, Vulva Vocabulary. Right after that, Femcy App will be coming in with Lost in Menstruation, bringing in some data and information on menstrual health. Stay tuned until the last drop when me, Livia, will come back with What's Good, a bonus section with some fine tips. Let's get our flow on. Welcome to Free Flow Podcast. Today I have the one, the only, Meija One, hip-hop, reggae artist, and entrepreneur, and self-proclaimed warrior, is joining us today. Welcome, Meija. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for inviting me on this. I'm ready to flow and free flow with y'all.
We're going to start flowing right into your vulva vocabulary, which is your new song coming out.
It's going to be a brand new release called Vulva Vocabulary.
Very vulvy.
You know, it's got kind of an old school vibe, but, you know, kicking it one time for the vulvas out there.
And do you mind if I ask a little bit, like, you don't always write about, like, vaginas, vulva menstruation, right?
You know, this has been a totally kind of new journey for me because, you know, coming up in hip-hop industry in Toronto and then L.A. and then New York and then later going on to Jamaica, kind of hitting reggae and dancehall scenes, all of these musical cultures and genres that I really love are super, super male energy, you know, where it's just like, I came to battle. I'm going to rip your head off. You know, like really, I guess I've kind of made this reputation for myself that when I first started, I shocked everybody. They saw like a short Asian girl and they thought I was going to do some spoken word poetry. And instead I was like battle rapping and I was, you know, doing some raga styles and that type of thing. So it was only like recently, now like I'm a grown ass woman. I've been in the music industry for over 12 years and now I'm just kind of taking it back and saying like, you know, I'm realizing through certain real life experiences that I've ignored my feminine energy and actually identifying the, I mean, yin part of myself for a very, very long time. So it's definitely a different journey to go on. I kind of declared that I'm going to be exploring this kind of empress energy, this empress tribe flex. And when I did, I started kind of making songs where the topics were about a different direction for sure.
Yeah, definitely been through that as well of always trying to, you think in order to fit in with the guys and the boys, you need to suffocate any feminine urge or anything that could be interpreted as too girly because you want to hang out. You want that to be in the back of what's happening right now. You know, you just want to be there.
Absolutely.
With people. I know now people talk a lot about pick me energy when a girl is like, oh, I hate feminism. I hope he picks me. So it became a category.
Wow, pick me energy. I never heard of that. But it's true, you know, it's absolutely true.
But not always. Like, I'm not just hanging out with the guys because I want them to pick me. I just want to hang out with these people and not be seen as a gender thing.
Yes. And when I first started in this business, well, in Canada, they had never seen kind of this female Asian face behind like rap music coming into the rap scene, that type of thing. So whenever an interviewer would interview me, that'd always be the same question, like, what's it like being a female Asian MC? And I actually didn't speak on it because I was like, no, man, I'm just an MC. Respect that I'm just an MC. And I wanted that recognition and that respect without that precursor that, you know, that I was a woman or identified as a woman before that. But what I realized as I kind of went through the industry is like for every letter I got from, you know, a Vietnamese girl that lives in some outback town where she's the only Asian girl out there, or like I got all these letters from girls that were just like, hey, we identify with you and we've never seen anyone that looks like you doing what, you know, you're doing. So then I realized, hey, I've been rejecting these questions for so long, but actually representation is important. And representation of voices that aren't kind of at the forefront all the time is important, so that others that don't identify with those people have more options to choose from. So then I started getting, I'm like, all right, fine. I'm a female MC, whatever you want to call it, you know? But then it comes again when you're, you know, you're going into the studios. I'm always like the token girl in the crew of guys, you know, because you're dealing with hip hop and MCs and that kind of thing. And you usually figure the girl in the room is the R&B singer or something, you know? And when I went to studios, I'd be dressing down. Like I wouldn't wear anything that shows off my curves or anything like that. Wear baggy jeans, tank tops. So there was definitely the sense of not connecting with who I actually am, and even physically my own body having to kind of work around that to fit in or to move undercover.
Do you think maybe because you were trying to come off as professional, you ended up thinking that it couldn't be both, like professional and feminine? Because I did that mistake before of thinking like power suits only, no flowers allowed in the meeting room, you know?
Well, I love me some power suits, I won't lie, but I love flower printed power suits.
Exactly. And the Vova vocabulary you wrote because it was just like in the topic was floating around your head.
What was interesting is that this song was actually first commissioned by a product that was launching in Asia. And this product is like a full line of like vulva care products. Kind of the key product was this like beautification mask for your vajayjay, you know?
A mask?
It's more shaped like a panty, and it's a face mask for the pom pom. And when I was kind of first approached about this product, I was excited because in Asia, it's so conservative. Whether it's culturally, whether it's religiously, it's just very, very conservative. Like, you know, products don't really name the vulva. So when this product came out, I'm like, that's really good. Like, they want to speak openly about identifying the vulva, speak openly about self-care. But what happened was this kind of campaign, it changed hands and they went a totally different direction, and the song was never used. And I was kind of disappointed. I'm like, I don't get to rap about the vulva like I wanted to. So yeah, I decided to take, you know, the song's been sitting on the shelf for a minute. I'm like, you know what? The time has come, and I have gone through so much in the last 2 years that pertain to being able to celebrate your own body. And so that's why I'm putting out Vulva Vocabulary now.
With the beauty mask for downstairs thing, I have two main questions. Like, one, I just wanted to see the size because I got a pom 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 pom, you know? She needs room and coverage. So I wonder if it's going to be...
I love that. I was like, I got a pom pom squared, honey.
You know? You can bounce around in there. On there. I don't know. And all the time, like this new stuff, it's two finger width. That yes. Doesn't cover one side of her.
The whole party.
Yeah.
Well, I think it covers, like, it's just for the exterior, right? It's just like sits just below your belly and then covering the vulva in the shape of a panty. So it's quite large. It's a generous, generous mask. But what it kind of opened in my head was that here in Asia, there's so many places that you walk by that are advertising like whitening your vulva or making the perfect vulva or there's actually ads here where I am in Kuala Lumpur that say, ladies, do you want to keep your husbands happy? You can tighten your vajayjay. And so that's kind of where I feel it gets into that dangerous territory where it's like, wait, hold up. Is your body yours anymore? Who are you really trying to impress with like that shiny white new vajayjay? Like, you know, so that's when I start getting a bit worried.
This whole self-care, sometimes it feels like it's a minefield because it got co-opted by all these beauty products that are just waiting for people that are like, oh, you know what? I want to improve on myself. So they know, oh, there's something to improve there. Let's dig into that scab and open it to a huge wound. And then it's just like self-care is the sheep's skin, right? Because then it's whitening creams is... It goes from, oh, put a little bit of sunscreen to you are not allowed to have any wrinkles ever again. here's 35 creams to plop on your face, you know?
The dependency that you need that product in order to care for self, when self-care is actually like inner work.
Are you looking to get new products? You know, when they ask you a rhetorical question, there's a promo code included as well. So why not? We're doing the same. We are a real podcast. Let's go. I got a new deal for you, and this is outside of what's good, so it's a bonus tip. Everyone listening to this podcast gets to share or use a coupon on SheePeriod.com. Okay, so head over to SheePeriod.com. Check out what you want. We got menstrual discs, lubricants, sterilizer case. This was my favorite. It's just so easy to carry around everywhere. Choose your favorite products. Put it in the cart. Code, free flow, all together, no spaces. Boom, $10 discount. This is, we're talking Singapore dollars over here. This is for everyone. One time use only. Don't get greedy. And it goes all the way until July 31st, 2022. Choose your faves and get a discount. Free flow on SheePeriod.com.
This song, well, I actually shopped this song to a couple ad agencies that are also pushing like female forward products or, you know, like girl power, that type of thing. So I shopped it to them and it came back to me that this song, like, you know, Meja, this song's a bit obscene, isn't it? It's very vulgar. And I was like, there are no swear words in the song. And it's literally like a very loving 90s R&B vibe. So I'm not sure where this like vulgar gangster rap thing you have in your head is coming from. And I realized it was the shock of actually identifying the vulva, and that was it. So then I had to tell these ad agencies, like, you know, why is it vulgar? Because you came out of one. And at which point I stopped getting a callback.
Do you think it was the bushy in the 70s that was just too much for them? Like, you're giving me flashbacks.
Let's get down with the bush. I mean, like, all trends and fashion come around anyway, so let's get bushy, honey. Yes.
Can I set the record straight, by the way? You don't decide a haircut forever, okay? So you're not like a waxed girl forever or a waxed body forever. It grows daily and you get to do it. I don't understand how did we land in the conversation that either it's full bush mm-hmm. or dolphin head. It was never one or the other. It's always in between, like constantly yeah. in between. Just
and it comes down to choices, or it comes down to like how long you're quarantined, whether you have the time, you know, whatever.
Budget.
It is.
What's the event?
I mean, if it's a poom poom party, maybe you get dressed up. But maybe it's just like a Netflix chill thing. Then maybe it all hangs. It's up to you. I'm into that. Because, I mean, I think when you start getting creative or you groom and that kind of thing, sometimes it just could be like you're actually celebrating, you know, your part. You're getting to know yourself. And, yeah, I think that's super cool.
I have still a friend, Laura, and she was working on this project called Baby Punk. And she has a chronic illness that requires her to do catheter every now and then. And part of the project was to not celebrate her inflammations, but to sing it out and bedazzle it out and just put it on stage. Not mm-hmm. in a, I'm sick, but like, I'm sick and sexual kind of thing. You know, like, there is no get better soon. Is I'm going to be sick forever. And I want to do the stuff that I want to do. So she bedazzled the top where you would put the beauty mask. And put like flames and use this while she was getting the catheter in. And that played in the back while she was rapping in front of it. It was so rad to see someone
yes.
that you know it's quietly struggling with pain. And to just do this, it was so empowering. Like I felt honored that she let me to be there and film
it. It's amazing. I mean, she's really just owning herself, like whether the bad parts, the good parts,
all
everything,
of it,
she's just owning it.
Know? All the stains.
And it's also pretty amazing that like what we have on us is reflected everywhere in nature. So you're looking at it through the lens of the synchronicity of nature, of creation. You're not really looking at it through the lens of like, this is pornographic, which incidentally, there is no sex education here in Asia in any of the schools. So your first sex education is porn. So I don't know why they're freaking out about that too.
I think you just clicked the whole path by removing the moment where we get to look at things and see beauty and then move on to a sensuality path and then becomes a sexual and therefore pornographic. We cut that middle out. There is no admiring. There is no paying attention, looking and seeing the natural beauty that grows into a sensual. Exactly. You cut that out and then either you have a medical book or an OnlyFans situation.
I'm about to snap on this. My first experience having sex ed, well, I grew up in Canada, so my sex ed in Canada was basically like the goal of sex, or at least for your age, the goal of sex is not to get pregnant, and sex ends in male climaxing. Mm-hmm. And that's literally what we learned in sex education. So we never identified the clitoris in sex education. We never ever talked about female pleasure, that's for sure. And it was kind of like through only this tiny little, you know, narrow view of like, okay, I got it. This thing down there that I'm supposed to kind of be ashamed of is for not getting pregnant and until you're ready. Got it. You know, it's we're taught such crazy things as kids. And now it really is going back there and seeing where were there funny things that maybe were or were not truths, or maybe they were half truths, or maybe they were only the perspective of one part of society.
You just reminded me of this school sexual education. So I went to, not my whole life, but from 14 years on, to a Catholic school. And I remember vividly in my first year, she's talking about how the woman doesn't release any liquid. There's no nothing that, there's no liquid down there. And I was like about to raise my hand and be like, I've seen squirting videos, but I didn't. Because it was my first year and I was like, I do not want to be labeled the whore in a Catholic school. Like, I do not want that on me. I heard rumors about this school.
In a Catholic school?
I would be like, I've seen it, you know? And I wanted to say, like, put your hands down my pants right now. They're like dripping.
I just feel like if I knew you in that school, it'd be homies for sure.
I'm 14. It's never been moister. Like, what are you talking about? I couldn't hear anything that woman had to say because I knew it was crazy Catholic bullshit, you know?
But what happens if you don't have kind of your strong understanding of your like belief in yourself and you have confidence in yourself and someone tells you that, then you believe it and you're like, man, there is something wrong with me. I am leaking. I'm not supposed to produce anything. It's just supposed to smell like roses and then bloom into beautiful womanhoods or something like that.
I just think she was prepping, you know? She's like, forget about wetness. There's no liquids. It's all dried up in the name of Jesus. You know, it's like.
Or maybe that was just her experience, you know? And at a time when, you know, especially when I was growing up, where these conversations were not allowed. And there was definitely no technology where even if my hometown wasn't talking about it, that I could, you know, like see what's out there, who's educating about it, who's having these conversations about it. And so she only knows her experience and you assume that your experience is everyone else's experience. And then she gives a lecture to little girls that you're supposed to be dry as a desert, you know? So,
only the men.
Yeah, only the men have squirt parties. I don't know what this podcast is going all kinds of places.
We're free flowing. We're just.
Oh, yes, we are free flowing. Nice. All right, flow on, sis. Flow on. I mean, I'm just, you know, where I feel like Southeast Asia is a point where I'm just grateful to even have those discussions, to even talk about it. I wanted to share that, you know, in 2019, I was on a tour and my personal assistant had pressed charges against an artist that we were on tour on for sexual assault while we were on tour. And she was someone that, you know, grew up in Southeast Asia, there was never any sex education. There wasn't open discussions with friends or family or guardians or anything like that. So when I spoke to her about the whole situation, she had said, "Do you know that I've never even heard about sexual assault until it happened to me?" And I was so shocked. And so when I went backward into this whole situation and I thought about it, or even when I, the first time I kind of freestyle about vulvas, and I think my mom or my auntie saw a video of me freestyling about vulvas, and they told me, like, "You are so obscene. We're so, like, we don't even know where to hide our face. Like, why would you do that?" And I told them, like, you know, if we cannot even identify our own bodies, then that goes further to so many discussions. Like, if something happens, like if sexual abuse happens to me, am I able to even identify that something bad is happening to me and I don't accept this and this is my body and this is my boundary? So actually, like, these discussions around the vulva, like, yeah, sure, I wrote a vulva rap and it made it funny and like called it a clam coochie and cataloni and all this catalini and all this stuff. But if you cannot laugh and have open discussions and feel comfortable to normalize that this is a part of your body, then there are so many things that could happen where you don't even feel privy to talk about a violation that has happened to you, or something maybe is not working right and I want to check myself out, or understanding your health. There's so many things that come with that. So I am just so grateful for a free flow podcast, for the ability to even have a discussion.
Absolutely. The 14-year-old me that didn't raise her hand to say and advocate for women, I feel vindicated now, you know, that I get to talk about this stuff and I got the chance to live a life that yes. did involve like this yes. openness and experiences. I don't know. Yeah, I feel very grateful. I see the change in where I'm from as yeah. well, from South America, where a lot of the youth now is way less rigid with their gender performance, is way more engaged yes. with their femininity. Yes. I feel like there's some progress going on. I don't know.
I have this secret dream, though, that I want to interview, like, we call all older generation here, like, aunties and uncles, you know? And I want to interview all the older generation to be like, first of all, they might be like first appalled, like, "Oh, cannot talk about these things, you know?" But then after just asking them stories about like, well, how were you taught? How did you discover in your generation what happened to you? Like, there is so much focus on the young and the new generation. And I definitely see so much coming out of there. But shoot, like, I'm coming out of a very like misogynistic era and still am, but my education came out of that. But I don't want to be that. So there's so many things that I'm schooling myself on right now.
All the time.
And so I want to go even one generation before that. And before that, it's like, you know, what can we learn from that generation and do better? I remember one of my hip hop heroes is Lauryn Hill. And when her album came out and it was called The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, I didn't really get it. But now, like, years later, as we're doing these podcasts and stuff, I'm like, yo, we were all kind of miseducated, or at least we're educated with one kind of perspective in mind. So now I get it, the miseducation of Meja One, and let me re-educate myself. And so, I mean, to tie it all in, like, I really think it starts at conversations around the vulva, you know, the number of stories and the things that can be shared from it. I mean, more than that, birth, menstruation, like, you know, like every story that comes with it. So I think that, yeah, these are really important podcasts and conversations to have. So thank you.
And if you feel comfortable, I don't know if you would like to share a bit of how your last year went.
Ah, yes.
I mean, how much do you want to talk about it? Probably.
So what's interesting is I came off of that tour. We released a song called Not All That Glitters Is Gold, that was addressing, you know, sexual assault and harassment and abuse. And suddenly I went to the doctor and I was told, you're either like a month pregnant or there's something going on with you, because we did an ultrasound. And I was like, what do you mean? To me, it was a huge shock, because I always like been gung-ho, like, go for it, warrior, and I'm invincible, that type of thing. But not realizing that I have ignored my body and kind of physical internal health for so long. And when that happened, I had to sit down, just stop, rest for a moment. What's going on with your body?
And what was going on? What were you feeling?
I had like food poisoning or something. And the doctor kind of like, okay, we'll give you a regular checkup, make sure everything's good. And that it was accidentally found that there was like kind of a giant cyst that was growing in me. And I was like, what do you mean? You know, like, I'm so healthy. I'm so energetic. What's going on? I did notice that I kind of like developed a little bump. I'm like, ah, it must be all the like noodles that I'm eating. I love pasta, you know, like I just figured that's what it was. But when they ultrasound me, it was bigger than a grapefruit. It was getting so big that it was pushing some of my other organs out of the way. And so I was told by like four doctors that I have fibroids, and also I probably have a cancerous cyst on one of my fallopian tubes. And so being told that when in your head you've been invincible your entire life is very humbling, and it's almost like a forced rest, no hustling. I was recommended by these four doctors to get a hysterectomy, which is the removal of the uterus. And I said, is that absolutely necessary? Can we like do as much of a less invasive procedure as possible? And they're like, whatever, you know, you're not 20 anymore and you haven't had babies, so just remove it. And it started ringing like alarm bells in my head that reminded me of the reaction I got when the sexual assault happened on tour, where people were like, no, be quiet about it. Don't cause trouble. Just, you know, whatever. And there's this kind of like this underlying misogyny around all of it, so much that even, you know, one of the doctors said like, well, where's your partner? Tell him to come in here. And then when he came on the phone, he's like, so do you want to have babies?
They were asking him.
And I was like, what? How come you never asked me that? Last check, it was my womb. Oh, my womb,
my
honey. So then when I realized that, I'm like, am I going to take the advice of there's something obviously very wrong here? And I'm not angry at the doctors. They're just giving me their best advice, I suppose, right? But I think that there is a system that teaches doctors in a certain way and teaches us sex ed in school in a certain way and teaches us how we respond to sexual abuse in a certain way. And it all kind of sits on the same thread. And when I started threading those things together, I'm like, no, this is time where I get to know my own body, start researching about women's health. Even though they say over 80 to 88% of women face fibroids in their lifetime, there's so little information about it, like so little, especially in Asia, to the point that I was doing research more on Reddit and getting more information from other women facing fibrosis than I could from my own doctor or from a book and these kind of things. So I made the decision to not have a hysterectomy, and I told my surgeon that, like, you know, do as little as you possibly can. So the plan was just to remove one fallopian tube and do as little. And she's like, unless I open you up and the party just is not happening, then okay, we got to do what we got to do. But I'm going to do as little as possible. And one really great advice that I got from a lot of friends was like, well, you know, your physical body is a reaction to your emotional and mental health. So you better do some digging, girl, and let go of what you need to let go of. Because women store a lot of the stress and the pain and the suppression right down here, you know, like right in your womb. So I did a lot of work on myself. I went 100% vegan. I followed a very strict like alkaline diet, which if you know me, I love food. So this was like a huge change. I cut all alcohol and I really did a lot of self-work. I made it a routine, morning meditation. So I did that work 2 months before the surgery. I actually delayed the surgery so I could do that work on myself. And then the doctors were like, you're such a hippie. No, don't listen to all this holistic crap, blah, 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 you know? And I went into the surgery. When I woke up the next day, the surgeon was like, I don't know how it's possible, but all the doctors were wrong. I didn't have any cancerous cysts whatsoever. I just had a very large fibroid, and fibroids are a non-tumorous cyst, right? So it's non-cancerous. So they removed the fibroids. Of course, they say fibroids can grow back and all of these things, but yeah, there was no hysterectomy. There was no cancerous cyst. And if I had actually taken that advice, I would have removed an organ for no reason. And also, not to say that the uterus is just a baby maker. It also balances your hormones. That's a lot to do with your mental health. It affects your heart health too. what they explained to me is like the medical system's job is just to save your life.
Until your husband wants a baby, then it's their job to guarantee that that man gets an heir.
Allegedly. You know? But if you move the whole kitchen sink and all the parts, then they guarantee that you're going to be okay. But I think that what we can do for ourselves to match with the medical system is to realize it's a lot more, it's a bigger picture than that. Like, if you think that emotional health doesn't affect your physical body, like, and that's just some hippie stuff, no, man, of course it does. When you're stressed, you stop breathing properly, you get a headache, your back hurts, like, of course it affects it. So since then, I take a lot more rest. I'm more of a holistic hustler now, you know, I don't say 24/7, I said, like, I plan my rest and
18/6 type of vibe now.
Okay, that's my next rap song. I love it. I love it.
But I'm so glad to hear that you're fine and that you were able to just like get the match that you wanted for a doctor. It's so scary sometimes to advocate for yourself because you are going against people that study and they're experts in their field. And I support and I believe in medicine. But God damn it, sometimes they just, you know better. Don't be afraid. You knew better. You did the diet that you should have done. And like you had the support of your audience and you yes. found a doctor that was, you know, careful, delicate, and found out yes. that in the end, none of that needed to happen in the first place. So
yes.
you were right all along, you know? A lot of times we go through the medical health system and we come out thinking that we're crazy. We don't know what's happening and we have no questions answered. But sometimes we get this confirmation that we are not crazy and that there was something wrong with you that you didn't know.
Yes.
But it didn't need to be so invasive to fix it, you know, or to
absolutely.
Help
I mean,
to heal.
I did ask myself, like, who are you to think you know more than a doctor or the medical system? Because just like stigmas, we're taught from young that this is the authoritarian voice on it and just like listen and obey kind of thing, right? So I think that being able to get the doctor's opinion, but also how come no one's talking about how much nutrition plays into it and how much nutrition affects the body, you know, and that type of thing. So listen to your body.
Do you know who's talking about all of that?
Who?
Reddit. Like, honestly, I got so much information off of that,
right?
Like way back in 2011 and 12 about discharge, pains, diarrhea, fibroids, PCOS. Doctors, if you're listening, do better because Reddit is out there
yes.
with the real yes. experiences, diagnosis and stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry, but it helped me so much.
But essentially what Reddit is just people coming together, sharing their stories. And there must be like kind of a common knowledge that then builds from this, the best practices that builds from there because people are willing to share those stories. And then from there, we can find the commonalities and we can, you know, learn how to do better that maybe mm-hmm. Other systems haven't caught up to yet. So again, these conversations are important and let's learn our vulva vocabularies.
From V to E, let's learn the vocabulary.
We should do that. I mean, after this podcast will kick in and be like, all right, play a game. You do A, I do B, you do C, you do D, you know, and just rotate that. Rotate.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that, Maysia. I think we're running out of time. Yeah. The producer says bye-bye. No.
Thank you so much for having me. And I think we definitely free float this.
We like chatting. But we also like facts. Information is power, but it can be overwhelming. We are collaborating with FEMSI, an app that informs and assists all menstruating bodies with their monthly experience. And today we have their specialists here sharing some data and myth busting. So let's get started with loss in menstruation.
Welcome to Lost in Menstruation. Did you know that an average period of 6 days only contains 5 to 80 milliliters of blood? That's just 2 full shot glasses. But sometimes it feels like our periods can flow like a river. Have you ever wondered why? Basically, our periods are much more than just blood. There are fluids and tissues such as cervical mucus, vaginal secretions, endometrial tissue, basically the lining of the uterus. They're the ones that cause our heavy flows. But how heavy is too heavy when it comes to period? First of all, your period is unique to you, and it is an indication of your health. It's very important to know what's normal or typical for you. So if your period is naturally heavier than other menstruators, that's okay. Sometimes, if your hormone levels aren't balanced, or if you don't ovulate, your body can make a thicker lining in your uterus, which leads to heavy bleeding when you shed it. But high, intense flows can indicate other conditions. It can indicate anemia. It can be both the cause and result of heavy bleeding, like a vicious cycle. It can also be a signal of abnormal growth in the uterus, like polyps or fibroids, or adenomyosis, which is when your uterus lining grows into the muscle of the uterus, kind of like an ingrown toenail, growing in places where it shouldn't happen. It can often be very painful, and not just during the period, but they can also be triggered by regular movements like digestion, during sex, or pooping. But how do I differentiate a heavy flow as a natural pattern from a symptom? You can take some notes about your periods. Are you repeatedly soaking through a tampon or a pad every 2 hours? Does your period last longer than 7 days? Do you need to change pads or tampons in the middle of the night? Do you have multiple blood clots that are larger than the size of a grip? Does your heavy menstrual flow keep you from doing things you would normally do? Does it impact your lifestyle? Do you have a lack of energy or are short of breath during your period or immediately afterward? Do you feel heavy pains in your abdomen or your lower back during your period? Do you experience bleeding between periods, during or after sex, during pregnancy, or after you have entered menopause? If you answered yes to two or more of these questions, it might be a good idea to get checked out by a doctor to make sure if it's just a natural heavy flow or if it's a symptom of something else. If you want to know more about menstrual cycle, make sure to download FEMCY app, FEMCY. FEMCY is available for download on Google Play in India, Singapore, Philippines, and UK. Soon it'll be coming to iOS. See you next episode.
And that was Lost in Menstruation, a collaboration between She Period and FEMCY app, empowering menstruators by sharing information and busting period myths. Now let's get back to our regular schedule. Girl, you're still here? You're still listening? Let's get into What's Good, the section where we share fun tips and treat you real good. So what's good today? What's good today is for all the shy vulva havers out there. I do recommend you go check out the Instagram and website called The Vulva Gallery. It's exactly what it sounds like. This artist from Amsterdam, Hilde Atlanta, created all these watercolor illustrations, somewhat realistic depictions of different vulvas. So it started, I guess, with friends or famous portraits, if you so, but now their followers send in their photos of their little vulvas, and she draws them in this beautifully cartoonish yet realistic way. And it's a very nice way for you to just approach vulva in a non-sexual way, non-objectifying, just to see what other ones look like. There's different lip sizes, different hairdos, different skin tones, different stages of life. We're talking age or life stance. There's also brand new vulvas in the market. Someone that just got a brand new one. It's everyone is in there. And I think it was really important when I was starting out to break down inner prejudice against your own body. And it was such an innocuous and innocent way to just look at other ones and see that you're not alone, that there's all shapes and sizes, and that they're all beautiful in their way. They're all these little cute cartoons that deserve to be in coffee mugs and in tote bags and have merch. And it's just this awareness around body diversity is to inspire individuals and empower individuals through their own anatomy, which is what we're trying to do here on Free Flow as well. Get everyone comfortable. So if you live with someone that has a vulva, please be appreciative. And if you are someone that has a vulva and you are very shy about it, go check out the Vulva Gallery. It's great. It's on Instagram, you guys. It's not porn, I promise. Today we got a little reading recommendations. It's a very concise book. It's very easy to read. It's 11 chapters. It's called All About Love, New Visions by Bell Hooks. If you are familiar with American authors, you know already who I'm talking about. She was a pioneer of Black feminism, grew up during the Civil Rights Movement, born in 1952, and we just recently lost her, December 15 of 2021. And the reason why we chose All About Love is its radical new ways to think about love. She offers a rethinking of self-love without narcissism. Bell Hooks is an activist and a feminist, but I think in this book, she brings a critical eye for something that has been romanticized, but it doesn't take it away from you. It doesn't take the notion of love away from you. It just gives new ways to look at it. I think it's something that we all need to hear. Sometimes to identify what is harmful love, what is prolific love, and what kind of benefits do you want out of it, you know, and how you phrase that within yourself. Anyways, I don't want to get too philosophical. I want to let you read the book. Go check it out. So that's what's good today. It's not a happy ending because unfortunately we lost her, but it's happy that we have this body of work to go read. Check it out, audiobook, read book, I don't know what you prefer. And that's what's good. Thank you for listening to Free Flow Podcast by She Period. And remember, menstruation is not a synonym of shame, it's a symbol of empowerment. Go to sheperiod.com for some fine menstrual products and follow us on Instagram at @trysheperiod. Let's continue talking. Share your stories with the world. We want to hear it. I'm your host, Livia, and that was all for today. Thank you again, and see you next episode.